Welcome to all listeners. Today I have a big honor and a very, very special guest. Today I give you one of the most important people in the world in this moment. Dr. Rainer Fulmich, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's an honor for me because I admire your job, your team, your people who has done this, and the best of the best happened today. They took down your video as has been shown on YouTube for over 1.5 million.
Yeah, we were all surprised to hear that. In particular, those of us who work on this German Corona Committee, because it's kind of stupid. It draws even more attention to what I have to say, and it gives us the chance to go to court and fight this, probably in Berlin, and that gives us the chance to prove with expert scientists that there is no Corona pandemic, but rather a PCR test pandemic.
And it's a big fraud.
It's a big fraud because PCR tests, unlike Professor Drosten and Wheeler and Tedros of the World Health Organization said, cannot prove and show any infections whatsoever. That's not what the test was designed for, and it simply cannot do it. What this test does is it takes, with this swab, you take molecules or fragments of molecules from the person who is being tested, and because you cannot see these fragment of molecules, they have to be amplified. In order to amplify, you have to do it in cycles. And what everybody agrees on, apart from the fact that these PCR tests are not approved for diagnostic purposes, what everybody agrees on, that anything that is any cycles over 30 or 35 are completely meaningless and scientifically useless. Now, you have to know that the CDC, the US CDC, and also the German Drosten test were set for 45 cycles. In other words, almost everything that tests positive is false positive. And it's not just me who's saying this, but one of the heavyweights in the pharmaceutical industry, the former chief science officer for Pfizer and also its former vice president, says that these tests, I'm going to quote this to you so that I'm not going to make any mistakes.
Good.
That these tests are, hang on. This is what he says. This test is fatally flawed and must immediately be withdrawn. Must with four capital letters. Must immediately be withdrawn and never used again in this setting unless shown to be fixed. And at the very end of his article, he says, and this is a new article from September the 20th, he says, I have explained how a hopelessly performing diagnostic test has been and continues to be used not for diagnosis of disease, but it seems solely to create fear. And that's what it is. That's what this is all about. We are deliberately put into a panic mode by our own governments, most of us. I don't think it happened this way in Sweden, but it did happen this way in Germany and most of the other countries who we're in touch with. Just so that we wouldn't ask any questions. But more and more people are beginning to ask questions.
The thing is, this is, as your video says, crime against humanity.
Yeah.
And it's the same in Sweden because we also have authorities who has frightened the people, and the mainstream media, the Swedish television, the Swedish radio, everyone have done the best to fright the shit off the people out, because this is, you know, you can go out and see people who are having distance. They don't go there, and they are so afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they're supposed to be.
Yes.
Here in Germany, what we now call the panic paper was leaked. It was published, or rather not published, but kept secret by the German Secretary of the Interior. And it explicitly calls for scaring people to death. One of the things, and I can quote this directly from this paper, is to make children feel responsible for the tortured deaths of their parents and grandparents if they, the children, do not adhere to the social distancing rules and hand washing rules and all that bullshit.
Bullshit, that's a good word about this shit.
Yeah.
For the listeners, under this interview, I will lay out the link where you can find Dr. Rainer Fulmich, Crimes Against Humanity, 49 minutes, who was taken down from YouTube this day. And I can assure you, everyone who's listened, that over 1.5 million people have seen the video as long as it was up on YouTube. I checked this morning. And those other platforms, probably more than Brighton, I think we have two more, but I don't remember. Band is one, and the second one I don't remember now, but it will be mirrored up there everywhere. So this was the best who could happen, because this is a real applaud to you, Dr. Rainer Fulmich.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. The funny thing is that the German version, and I think also the French and Spanish versions, are still up. So I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they don't know what they're doing either.
This is amazing, because as you have a lot of videos up in your YouTube channel, I will also put the link under this interview so people can go there. Mm-hmm. You have done a lot of very, 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 very good ones.
Well, thank you. You know what? I would not have done it if it hadn't been for my wife. You probably know that when this all started, my wife and I were in California, because I practice law both in Germany and in the state of California. And we just couldn't believe what we were hearing from our friends and relatives when we spoke to them on the phone or via WhatsApp or FaceTime. And I told my wife, we're going to stay here and sit this out until things become normal again. But she kept telling me, and she's totally apolitical, really. She kept telling me, we have to go back. You have to do something about this. You're a lawyer. You know how to do it. And I said, no, I can't do this by myself. And it didn't look as though there were any other lawyers out there who were even interested in this case. Well, finally, I called my friend, Dr. Wolfgang Wodak, who he's the one who stepped in when 12 years ago the same people tried to make the swine flu into a pandemic. And I asked him, what is this all about? And he explained to me that this is probably just another flu wave, but that he would look into it. And he told me gave me a number of names of people who I could get in touch with. One of them is Professor Ioannidis of Stanford University. And then I read up on this, and I realized this is probably a big hoax. And finally, I got in touch with one other lawyer in Germany, my friend Viviane Fischer, who is also very active. And she and I agreed we're going to have a Corona investigative committee, because it was very obvious that the government and the German Bundestag was not interested in finding out the true facts, because, as we know now, the only thing they were interested in were the panic mongers, which are Professor Drosten and Tedros and Mr. Wheeler. He's the guy who leads our German equivalent of the CDC, the RKI. So we started that, and since I think July 10th, we've been listening to many, many scientists and experts from all over the world, from the medical field, the economic field, psychologists, who told us about the devastating impact that all these measures have in particular on children. So that's why we have now a complete picture, not quite complete, but complete enough of this whole scandal, so that we can go ahead with a class action suit. We're going to file. We're going to have someone file a complaint for damages, either in the United States or in Canada, And then this person is going to ask the judge to allow this case to go forward as a class action suit. And if the judge agrees, then everyone all over the world can join this suit, because they're all going to be informed by the mainstream media about this class action going on. You know, the thing is that these lockdowns are all of them based on these PCR tests, and all based on the false statement of Professor Drosten that the PCR tests tell you something about infections, when in reality they don't. And he knows that, because we found an older article that he wrote some 6 years ago in which he explicitly said, yeah, we get a lot of weird results from these PCR tests. You cannot trust them. And all of a sudden, he seems to have forgotten all this, or rather, he got the command from the people who handle him, probably those who invested in the pharmaceutical and the tech industry, which are now trying to dominate us. He got the command to go ahead and call for a pandemic. He failed 12 years ago. He is totally discredited, but people must have forgotten it, and that's why the German government trusted only him. Now, they, too, will be harmed by the results of the investigations that are now going to start in the courts of law.
And this all thanks to your wife.
I guess so.
It's
sure
amazing.
She, in the meantime, may have regretted what she told me, but I think she's still on my side. Yeah, I'm very grateful. I have the perfect wife.
Give her the best from me, please.
I will.
Dr. Rainer Fulmich, can you explain the title of a doctor?
Oh, yeah, this is a PhD in law. And in Germany, if you work at a university, and I did this for, I don't know, 12 years or so at the University of Göttingen, you can, if you find someone as your what they call doctor father, you can ask him, or sometimes they even ask you. In my case, my former boss at the University of Göttingen, one of the most acclaimed tort lawyers in the world, his name is Professor Dr. Erwin Deutsch. He asked me to write something about a comparative law thing about the durable power of attorney for healthcare. You know, this is in 1986 or 7, when people didn't know anything about this. And it's about how can a patient who is not personally able to make any decisions, either because of an accident or because of a serious illness, how can such a patient make sure that no experiments are being done with him? How can he make sure that his own personal ideas and wishes are regarded with respect to the kind of treatment that he gets or doesn't get? And back then there was only two states, I think, in the United States, that's Oregon is one of them, I forget the other one, who had adopted this durable power of attorney for healthcare law. And what it does, very briefly, is you can give a power of attorney to, mostly it's done to your best friend, and make him your agent if you fall very sick or have an accident and cannot talk to a doctor anymore. Then he will do what he thinks is best for you, because you've been telling him what you think is best for you before you
it's
fell.
It's a document between those two people.
Yes, right. So that's what my doctoral dissertation is on.
So you were prepared in early days, and you didn't know what will be in 2020.
I did do quite a bit of work in the area of medical law, medical malpractice law. I spent years working for the university hospitals in Göttingen and in Hanover on their ethics committees. So I have a little bit of medical expertise, not enough though. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor, but I did remember this. This is more than 20 years ago. In the meantime, however, I gained a lot of experience representing consumers and small corporations against big fraudulent corporations here in Germany and in the United States. Among them, Deutsche Bank, which is one of the most criminal organizations in the world. VW, you remember the diesel scandal. And then there's Kuhne & Nagel, which is the largest shipping company in the world. And I think we're going to get them for bribery. So I do have a lot of experience with courts of law that here in Germany, in these particular instances of what we call an unjust equilibrium, because you have one very powerful party, the corporation, and you have a not so powerful small corporation or even a consumer. And here in Germany, we had to learn over the last 26 years of trying these cases that most courts, not all of them, but most courts are not as independent as people think they are, because they usually tend to help the big corporations. Here in the state of Lower Saxony, where my office is, it was very obvious that if you attack VW here, you don't have a really good chance of winning this case. And that's because 20% of the shares in VW are owned by the government of Lower Saxony. So I do have a lot of experience of getting frustrated, at least here in Germany. But I also know that you do not get that frustrated when you take your case to the United States, if there is a chance to do that.
And now you will get up to big form of the criminal mafia industry.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. I didn't choose to do this, but if that's where the facts take us, that's where the fight's going to happen.
If we look in the mirror now and check out the facts as we know, this is an agenda for vaccines for all the world people.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. This is probably what's behind all this. Now, when we first started to do our hearings with our Corona Committee, we had no idea what the result of this would be. I mean, all of us had questions, or else we wouldn't have started the Corona Committee, but we had no idea where this would take us. One of the things that I found very interesting and I think it's very important to know this, is that there have been efforts by both the pharmaceutical and the tech industry for at least 10 years, and by those who invest in these industries for at least 10 years to gain more control over the world. Now, this is nothing new, because about 100 years ago, something very similar happened when the oil industry, and even then the financial industry, tried to dominate the rest of the world. And it was only one person, few more people, but one person who in particular stepped in, got in their way, and did an excellent job of keeping them in check, and that is the then Justice of the Supreme of the U.S. Supreme Court, Louis Brandeis. He's the one who got credit for all of this, because he was then the people's lawyer. Now, that's why I'm saying this is nothing new. This is, you don't have to resort to conspiracy theories. Just look at the facts, and the facts will tell you. For 10 years, there have been efforts by these industries and the people who invest in them. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is one big investor, of course. There have been pretty massive efforts to gain control over politicians. They met every year or so, either in the context of the World Economic Forum or Financial Forum. No, I forget the word. But there have been regular meetings, which then almost made it possible for these corporations and their investors to merge with politicians all over the world. And that's why, I suppose, that's why we now have both of them acting in lockstep almost. But also, at the same time, people are beginning to wonder and worry, in particular in the courts, are beginning to wonder and worry if things have gone too far. And we also know, in the meantime, that the other side, as I call them, is worried as well. They're not a monolithic wall that we're up against, but they all... They all have conflicting interests. So the more they realize that more and more people are beginning to ask questions and are willing to take them to court, the more worried they are. Now, we can't go after the politicians. I mean, you could probably, but it makes more sense to go after those who are out there in the open and who are doing the dirty work for these corporations. Among them, of course, Professor Drosten, Professor Wheeler of the RKI, the German equivalent of the CDC, and of course, the World Health Organization. And if that happens, and if we do get them in court, and today was a good day for that because it's going to start off a very serious battle here in a German court against YouTube and Google. If that happens, if we get these people, then of course the impact will be felt by the politicians who seem to have trusted these people.
But the thing is, I think the politician knows about the connection between them and the big pharma.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. What's the first?
It's of course a connection between big money, big pharma, and the political people.
Oh yeah, we know that. But it's not going to help them because obviously, if you look at what happened at the WHO, quite obviously there's an internal power fight going on because. How can you explain their complete turnaround or backflip on this pandemic? Up until very recently, they all agreed that this is extremely dangerous and the only way you can get out of this is by getting a vaccine. And all of a sudden, they turn around and agree with Ioannidis, who states that the mortality rate, the infection fatality rate, rather, is roughly the same as the flu. So what we believe, now this is pure speculation, but what we believe is that the Chinese, who have gotten their own economy back under control, are really beginning to worry about their markets, and their markets are crashing right now. Who are they going to sell their products to? That's the big question. So we have the Chinese, we believe, this is not provable right now, but we believe this is the case. It makes sense, it's plausible. We have the Chinese who go in one direction, and we have Bill Gates, who is the other big donor to the World Health Organization, going in another direction. And then we have the politicians who are out there on a limb right now, and they can't believe that their support from the WHO is gone. And here in Germany, they are panicking, and that's very obvious.
And that's very good.
I think so too.
I will remember one thing I saw for a lot of years back on naturalnews.com. They launch a site, parmadeathclock.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, I will quote it, "Big Pharma's chemical warfare on humanity dwarfs the number of victims killed by all world wars and acts of terrorism combined. While drug companies profit billions, people are dying by the millions."
Wow.
And this is a very good one and a very good site, but you can see how much of those people who get poisoned and get killed because of this patent mafia molecules, as they call medicines.
Yep, there's going to be a lot of rethinking in many of the areas, probably most of the areas of the socio-political agenda. We are going to be, once this is through, once we've fought this scandal and brought the people who are responsible for it to jail. We're going to be thinking about new ways of creating social justice. We're going to, in particular, have to think about reining in corporate power. The judges, the courts of law can do a lot with this. And we're going to be thinking about climate change, etc. Those are the things that really, really count, not this fake pandemic.
This is a very important struggle in this year 2020 and in the next years, because if this allows to go on, we have a total fascism.
Yeah, that's what everybody's afraid of. But they're not going to win. We will win.
I believe you, because you have a good wife who led you into this. It's very important.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, yeah. And I think it is important when you do that kind of work, as we're doing it right now, it's extremely strenuous. I mean, it's like your work starts early in the morning at 7 o'clock. That's when you take your first phone calls, answer the first emails and text messages, and then you have to go to court, then you have to prepare for the sessions at the Corona Committee. You give interviews like this one, you make your own videos, and it doesn't stop until like 11 p.m. And unless you have a very dependable partner, someone who believes in you, and my wife does, I don't think you can make it.
It's very important, because this is about to be human.
Yeah.
To care about the world population, the humans.
Mm-hmm.
And this is because I admired you so highly, because this is so important in those days, because those greedy people who just think in money and give a shit about the people of the world with vaccines, medications, as criminals, it's written a lot of books about this. And it has been well known for a long, long, long time, worldwide, even in Sweden. But the mainstream media are protecting them.
Yeah, and that's because the same people who invested their money into the pharmaceutical and tech industry, and some other industries as well, invested much of their money into the mainstream media. So many of them, not all of them, but many of them are now basically under the control of the very same people who created this pandemic. And you're absolutely right. These people have no empathy whatsoever. That's why I'm saying, and I think everybody seems to agree with this, what's happening here, just because they want money and power, mostly the corporate types want money, and the politicians who cooperate with them want power. But that's why I'm saying these are crimes against humanity. They were first defined, by the way, in connection with the Nuremberg trials, when they dealt with the main war criminals of the Third Reich. And now they're regulated in Section 7 of the International Criminal Code. And the reason I'm saying these are crimes against humanity is because the most serious impact that all these measures have is on children. The masks, for example, there are more and more studies coming out that say they not only do not help any against any virus, but they're dangerous, and in particular dangerous for children. The smaller the child, the more dangerous these masks are to the child's health. And if you look a little bit further, and you mentioned this a little earlier, if we're thinking about a new vaccine, then this vaccine will, if it ever exists, I don't think it'll come, but if it ever does come, it will be extremely dangerous, because usually it takes about 6, 7, 8 years to develop a new vaccine. This time, it's supposedly being developed in 9 months or so. That doesn't make sense. You know, the last time they had a vaccine was during the swine flu. And you know why? This is also important. Back 12 years ago, the definition of a pandemic was changed. Until then, a pandemic was considered to be a disease that spread worldwide and which led to many serious illnesses and deaths. Suddenly, and for reasons never explained, it was supposed to be a worldwide disease only. Many serious illnesses and many deaths were not required anymore to announce a pandemic. And that's how they were able in 2009, the WHO, which is closely intertwined with the global pharmaceutical industry, was able to declare the swine flu pandemic in 2009, with the result that vaccines were produced and sold worldwide on the basis of contracts that have been kept secret until today. Now, in the meantime, even then, these vaccines proved to be completely unnecessary because the swine flu, as I said, finally turned out to be a mild flu and never became the horrific plague that the pharmaceutical industry and its affiliated universities kept announcing it would turn into. However, these vaccines led to serious health problems. About 700 children in Europe, and I think many in Sweden, fell incurably ill with narcolepsy and are now forever severely disabled. That's why I'm saying crimes against humanity, and that's why I'm saying the people who are on the other side have no empathy whatsoever.
And that's very important to know for everyone who's listening, because this is a plandemic. It's a plan, and there is a very nice and video I could recommend everyone to see. Look up Plandemic and look up the name Judy Mikovich.
Yeah.
Because this is an eye-opener for everyone who hasn't looked into this. Mm-hmm. As I think you can know too. You have heard those names before and you know them, of course.
Yeah, Judy Mikovits is a very renowned scientist in the United States, and pretty much at the beginning of this pandemic, they vilified her. The mainstream media vilified her and made her into a criminal, which she certainly is not. She cooperates closely with Robert F. Kennedy. I think he wrote a foreword for her latest book. I haven't spoken to her yet, but I'm in touch with her via email, and I think she is honest, even though I'm not a doctor, so I can't really be the judge of that, but I think she's honest both scientifically and in person.
And she is a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm.
She has gone through hell, and she is standing up, and she is honest, she is telling the truth, and she is fighting for all of us.
Yeah, she is.
A wonderful person. So I recommend you to talk to her and hope you will meet her. It's a good team all over the world now who's seeing this. This is crazy. This is fascism. This is just stupidity. We can't do anything more than say no and stop.
Yeah, we have to put up a very big stop sign. And one of the ways of doing this, there's actually, I think, two ways of doing this. Spread the information, the factual information that we have, and go to court. There are going to be many, many court cases, but the most important one, I think, is going to be the one that's going to be filed either in the U.S. or in Canada, because those are the only two countries in the world that have these class actions. And not only that, but they also have the most advanced law of evidence with the so-called pretrial discovery. If you, as a party of a lawsuit, if you violate the rules of these pretrial discoveries by, for example, destroying evidence, then you lose that case. That's why most people don't want to go to court in the United States or in Canada, in particular the people who we're going to drag into court.
Because they are heavy people with a lot of money in their backs.
Yeah, not enough though, not this time.
I'm happy to hear that. It sounds like music in my ears. Truly, truly. Because this has been ongoing so long. Swine flu, every time the same concept. Mm-hmm. It's a mafia. It's a fraud.
Yeah, it is a mafia. You're right.
It's a crime against the humanity. Mm-hmm. It's so, so low because they are killers. They know what they are doing and do it for profit.
Yeah, I would never have expected this to be the outcome of our investigations, but that is, in fact, the result. These people don't care. They have no empathy.
Not at all, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
I have a site in front of my eyes in the computer, Crimes Against Humanity, the German Corona Investigation. It's the World Doctors Alliance site. And there they describe a lot about this fraud. And in the last words, they have a video here. And that video is to your video who is picked down from YouTube today. So they have to have some information about where they can find it on Brighton or the other platforms that they from YouTube and Big Test not can take it down. You know them, of course.
Yeah, I know them. We're going to be in close touch. I'm going to be in close touch, and my lawyers will be in close touch with everyone who can help us here. But I think we have everything we need right now, because we it's funny how they're stupid enough to attack the one person who probably knows best to defend himself. But it's good. I'm kind of excited.
And your organization is?
You mean the Corona Investigative Committee?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're four lawyers. My colleague Viviane Fischer is the one who I first got in touch with when I called, while I was still in the United States, when I called and asked to find people, lawyers, who would join this. I then met her in Berlin, and I decided that, or we decided that we're going to start this investigative committee, but there's two other people on board. One is Antonia Fischer, she's not related, and the other one is Dr. Justus Hoffmann. And we have known each other, the other two and I have known each other from our work for Transparency International, because we worked at Transparency International and there was a working group on the judiciary. We were investigating corruption in the judiciary. And that's also how I know Dr. Wolfgang Wodak, the one person who kind of stopped that swine flu pandemic from getting out of control. He reined them in back then because he had the power. He was a member of the German parliament, and he was also a member of the Council of Europe. So we have known each other for a while, and the other person who comes into play is one of the most respected lawyers in this country, one of the most respected law professors, I should say, in this country, and that's Professor Dr. Martin Schwab. He's been advising us from the start, and I've known him from my work with the for Transparency International for about 5 years now. So all of us are pretty good friends, and we really enjoy working together. If we had had a choice, we would have probably chosen something completely different, but it doesn't matter. This is okay. This gives us a chance to do something really, really important and very good.
Have you got any site that people can read about your mission and all the people who is in it?
Yeah, we have a there are two websites. One is the Corona Investigative Committee website. It's but however, it's only in German right now. We're gonna we're about to have an English version of it as well.
But the
well.
Most people can use Google Translation.
Oh yeah, right. So that link is Corona dash Ausschuss. That's spelled AUSSCHUSS.DE, and the other one, and then there's of course my own website here for my firm, which is fulmich.com, and then there's also a website that's soon, I hope, going to come up in English as well. It's for the class action. That's probably where we're going to publish all of the information that we have, including the expert testimony that we have on the PCR tests.
Good.
And that website is Corona dash, and then it's the German, it's one of those stupid German words.
Don't that's bother cloudy. About that, because we don't like this.
Yeah, okay.
In the chat window in the Skype, you can put all those three links.
Okay.
Send them to me, and I will put them under this interview.
Okay, I'll
so
do that.
So people can find them easily, because you know people.
Yeah.
It's much easier to click on the link and remember it easily that way. Perfect, perfect.
Okay.
Have you got any contact with Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
Yes, we're in close touch. I speak regularly, in particular with his most important attorneys and the representative of his CHD, Children's Health Defense. And we're actually hoping to be able to cooperate officially and work jointly on the complaint, because these people are very, very well connected. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., of course, is a very well-known person as well. He's also a very nice guy. He and I gave speeches in Berlin on August the 29th. He came on first, and I was the second or third speaker or so. And he's a very impressive, very nice person. And of course, Berliners have not forgotten his uncle, who some 50 years ago said when he was in Berlin, that's in the middle of the Cold War, exclaimed to the Berliners, "Ich bin ein Berliner," which means "I am a Berliner." So when he said these very same words some 50 years after his uncle did, people were really, really moved.
I can tell you the truth about Swedish television, and they are financed by us taxpayers.
Oh.
They have an article up that in that time when this rally was, it was from their side published 17 to 18,000 people in the rally.
How ridiculous. I mean, I was there in person, and I think about 35 or 37 of our group of attorneys who cooperate here were also there. There was also a police officer who works for us undercover, and we listened to him on the at the Corona Committee, and he explained to us that there were at least 800,000 people there, probably many more. But there are at least 800,000 people in the direct vicinity of where we gave our speeches.
I saw a number of 1.3 million people who has been in the area and been a manifestation this big time.
Yeah, I think that's quite possible.
And it's ridiculous. Have you have any call from the Swedish television or the Swedish radio who is paid by us taxpayers?
Unfortunately, not yet, but I'm ready anytime they are.
Oh. I can tell you they will listen to this.
Oh, that's great.
So guys and employed by us taxpayers from the Swedish television and Swedish radio, take the finger out from the butt and send Dr. Ragnar Fulmich a mail and make an appointment with him and do something good for the Swedish people and for the world people, because it's time that you choose side. Either you are with us or either you are against us.
That I hope we're not going to get to that point. I hope we will still be able to reach the other side on a rational basis. But I'm afraid we're going to need the courts of law to intervene and step up and step in so that the other side will not be able to go any further because it's gone far enough. It's gone way far enough. But if they don't do their job, I'm afraid there is going to be violence, in particular in the United States, where more people than ever have bought guns this year.
And that's why I said those words to the people at Swedish television and Swedish radio. Because why in hell should people kill each other for a fraud? And this shit was planned.
That's a good question.
And
It's totally, completely senseless.
if they ask you or me or normal people, no one would like to have these killings. It's stupid.
Yep.
And
There's nothing to add to that.
if we have this situation as it is crimes against humanity. It's a fraud about this corona pandemic.
Yep.
And it's nothing more about that, because that's the truth. Why don't mainstream media in Sweden and worldwide start to do their job and help the 99% of world's people?
Yeah, it's a good question, but I think the front is porous on the other side. So more and more people, I have very good friends who are working for German public television. We have two major public television stations, and they were at first, they weren't even approachable because they couldn't believe that their television stations were spreading false news. In the meantime, these are smart people. In the meantime, they are beginning to understand that lots and lots of mistakes were made, and much of the information that was spread through the mainstream media is simply false. And the more people that understand this, the quicker this thing is going to end. But I think it's going to take the courts to talk to the witnesses, to look at the evidence, and come to factual, fact-based conclusions.
You know the word cognitive dissonance?
Yes.
I think they have had this propaganda. So people are so afraid for a long, long, long time, months after months after months.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a situation of cognitive dissonance deep in brains of the population of the world today.
Yeah.
And we have to thank the mainstream media for that.
Unfortunately, yes.
And if they have something left in their brains, they have to wake up and do their job for the people. Because if the people turns around to them, they don't have any more jobs.
That's the truth.
And that's the truth of the market.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the side, as you are, as a lawyer and your friends, and taking this to court, which will be your part in the court? Will it be WeWage or Big Pharma, or will...
You mean myself?
You have a job to do. Your college, and you will go to court.
Yeah.
But which is the other side who is sitting opposite of your team in court?
If we go to court in the United States, it's going to be, or here in Germany, it's always going to be the same people, the ones who started all this. And the one person who started this in here in Germany is and worldwide is Professor Drosten of Charité Hospital in Berlin. Because he was the one who in mid-March or so suddenly changed his mind. Up until then, he had been saying, oh, this is going to be a mild flu. Most people will not have any symptoms. Most people won't even know that they have it. And then all of a sudden, as though somebody had given him a signal, and I think somebody did give him a signal, he changed his mind from one day to the next and started declaring that this is going to be really dangerous. We're going to have to quickly act on this. It's going to be, I think 100,000 people are going to be in intensive care units, or even a million, and 100,000 are going to die, something like that. He started the same thing that he did, tried in vain, because he was stopped by Dr. Vodak 12 years ago, started the same thing all over again. And he said, we do have a way of seeing how many people are infected and how dangerous this crisis is. We do have a way of finding out about infections. Just use my PCR test. And he lied, because these PCR tests, as I said earlier, cannot detect any infections. And the one person who helped him was Tedros and the World Health Organization, which said to the rest of the world, we recommend that all of you use this Drosten PCR test. And what people don't know yet is, however, that he's closely intertwined with one of the personally intertwined with one of the producers, one of the most important producers of PCR tests. So that's how it all started, and that's why we're going after these people. Even if we decide to go after others as well, these people are, and there's a 100% certainty, they're going to be deposed in courts of law or outside of courts of law, but they're going to be deposed as witnesses.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If those people from the Swedish television, Swedish radio and mainstream media in Sweden would like to contact you, how can they do it? Have you an email address for them, or how do you want them to do it?
Yeah, it's probably easiest to get in touch with me via email, because it's almost impossible for me to answer all these phone calls. But
of course.
Emails work. One of my most important colleagues is one of the best organized women in the world, but she's unfortunately on vacation for a week now. But at the end of the week, she'll come back. And in the meantime, my wife and my other colleagues and my secretaries are helping out. So if you send that email, I'm going to send you a in the chat, I'm going to give you my email address. And
I will publish it under as a link, as they can take
mm-hmm.
it. That's good. Because I can understand in your position and situation now that you have a lot of mails and phone calls.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds.
And the wife is here again.
Well, she's a teacher, so she does know how to write.
Good, very good. Mm-hmm. And that's very important. You have to have a team around you, because you will drown in emails and phone calls. I can understand that, of course.
Yeah, no one can do this by themselves. It's absolutely impossible. And that's why I keep telling people that if we don't do this together, it's not going to work. It's not enough for one person to stand up and say, this is the end, I'm going to stop you. But we all have to agree on this, and we all have to do it. And that's why we all need to share the facts, so that many, many more people understand what's going on, and that this is a very, very important time in history.
I saw this video in early time, and I have seen your site at YouTube before. The last video, the 49 minutes video, Crimes Against Humanity, and you have done a very, very, very good job for all of us.
Well, thank you very much. I haven't finished the job yet, but I'm very optimistic that with all these competent people around me and cooperating with me, we're going to make it. And I'm just looking at the Swedes, because we've seen the Swedes as a very positive example. And that's why I'm hoping that they're also going to help us.
That was my thought when I wrote you a mail, because I thought, okay, we have a lot of good people here in Sweden.
Absolutely.
And we have to wake them up. And if I do this, I hope that the people around who's listening help us to spread this in Twitter and in Facebook, and they're all networks, so those good people dare to rise up, because a lot of people here are frightened, and they are frightened not only about the corona, they are frightened for their jobs, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of journalists too, of course.
Absolutely. Politicians too, mostly everyone.
Yeah. And those guys who are there, all of them will get this in this mass mails I send out daily.
Okay, that's good, because you know, that's another important thing that people have to know. It's a word that Robert F. Kennedy spoke when he quoted Franklin D. Roosevelt. He said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself," and that's the truth.
Oh, that's like music in my ears. Because I have the same mantra in my head. Why should I or anyone be afraid for those criminals who have started this pandemic and set up a big corona fraud, who is crimes against humanity?
Yeah.
This is crazy. Can you give the audience some last words from your heart to their heart, so they will remember you from this time and ever, ever, ever.
Well, it's just don't give up, be optimistic, look at the facts, and you'll realize there's nothing to be afraid of. We just got to pick ourselves up and fight the fight, because the other side is not really ready for this. And obviously, we're many, many more than the other side.
That's very, very good. You have contact with Bobby.
Yes.
When you got this recording, please send it to him and ask him, as I have sent him an email earlier this day, to give me a mail, and I hope he will stand up as you have done and talk to the Swedish people, because this is very important with such leaders as you and Bobby.
Thank you very much. I will do that.
Good, very good. And especially give your wife a big hug from me.
I'll do that.
And that big dog too, please.
Oh yeah, my two dogs. He has a sister which is about half his size. They're a mix of Akita and Husky, blue eyes, and the rest looks like a Husky, like a Akita. They're really nice dogs. I run with them every day.
And when I saw the dog you showed me on the video, when we had the video on, I saw the same calm in the dog as in you.
Well, I guess we complement each other. He kind of calms my nerves, and I think I calm his nerves.
That's a very, very nice thing. Because I think you are not afraid from anything. You're fighting for the humanity, and you're fighting for all of us who don't have that background and learning as you have had it in your life.
Yeah, I'm definitely not afraid, because I think there's no reason to be afraid. But I also know that I cannot do this all by myself. That's why I'm counting on many, many more people to join us and fight the other side, in particular in Sweden.
Can the Swedish people support you in any way? So tell them.
Oh, just by spreading the news, but just by telling as many people as possible what the true facts are. And the true facts on this, and this is scientifically correct, because we've spoken to a number of scientists, well-known scientists, including Professor Kemmerer of Germany, Professor Kappel from the Netherlands, Dolores Cahill from Ireland, and Dr. Arve from Austria. And they all agree. Plus, the inventor of the PCR test agrees that these PCR tests do not tell you anything about infections. They only produce almost 100% false positives. Dr. Yaden says at least 94% false positives, and that's almost 100%.
So if it had not been those PCR tests, there have never been a pandemic.
That's it. That is absolutely the truth. We do not have a corona pandemic. We have only a PCR test pandemic. It's man-made.
And that's a big fraud, and it's planned.
It is.
Oh, it's like music in my ears to hear it from you too. I admire you. You're a very good man.
Oh, don't admire me. Just let me know that you believe in me, and that you believe that I'm trying to do the best I can, because I really am trying to do the best I can.
I have never asked you for an interview and called you up if I haven't believed in you and your enormous pathos for this.
Well, thank you.
And give my best to your friends, and have a wonderful evening, and sleep very, very, very good tonight.
Thank you very much, and good night.
We get in touch.
Yes.